Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome on into the In the Hoop of the Sports Buffoons and Let's Talk Sports NBA show. My name is Tanner Dawson of the Whiskey Sports Podcast. Join with me, it's Scott Cobb of Let's Talk Sports, SJCobb1 on Twitter. Scott, what's up, dude?
Not much. How you doing, Tanner?
I'm good. I'm in lovely Wichita. It's a little windy, but it's blowing that way, so I get everything blocked so I can sit outside. Chilly. It's like I'm back up in Milwaukee for another week. All of that fun stuff, man. JG will be joining us. He's on his way back. He had some fun time with Hale on the way back, so give him a few and we'll get it going. So you gotta love weather, man. Mother Nature in March and April are the best.
It was 87 here yesterday. It's gonna drop into the 40s tonight. So that's how bad it is.
It's 50s right now. I left Kansas City and it was damn near 60, 65. All I brought was shorts. I have shorts and a t-shirt. I didn't bring a jacket. I didn't bring jeans. Luckily, I'm only here today. But it'll be all right. It's a good time. Can't complain. So
not at all.
Not at all. So, guys, in case you aren't aware, the NBA playoffs have begun. The first matchup has already been finished for the playoffs. You have Philadelphia taking the game over Brooklyn. I believe it was like 121, 122 to 110.
Yeah, something on that like one. Yeah.
But Philadelphia came out, and I mean Brooklyn. We all know Brooklyn. Yeah. Yes. Some people say they shouldn't be there, but this is also a team that's going to put some points on the board, and Mikal Bridges is not going to be shy about it. Scott, what's your take here on that Philadelphia game?
So watching I watched a lot of it today. Obviously, I had some stuff going on in it. So Philadelphia seemed to be at arm's length the whole game in terms of took the lead. Brooklyn would come back, would close the gap. Philly would extend it out again. They're very small. Brooklyn's the smallest team. They're doubling Embiid every chance they get. Yeah. So I don't know whether they're going to switch off of that. But the secondary pieces for Philly, Harden, Harris really came through and played really well today. So Brooklyn's going to have trouble getting a game off of Philadelphia in the series, I think, the way I watched it today. So
I think so too. I think it's just more in Philadelphia's hands though. Like they have to be consistent. They have to be playing their kind of ball in order to win this series. Because again, yes, Brooklyn lost all their pieces, or so we thought. Now this team kept a sixth seed essentially. Going into this tournament or going to the playoffs. And this is still a team that can make some noise. So I think it's up to Philadelphia essentially to be the ones to control their own destiny.
Agreed. And I don't think it's going to Embiid's going to get his, but I think it's going to be the secondary pieces in Philly that are going to dictate whether Philly gets it in four or five. So.
Well, we've all seen Philadelphia's history and the bench dictates a lot. So. It hasn't been pretty for them.
Not at all.
We'll go into the next game here. Currently with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Celtics, Atlanta. Celtics are big in this one. 59-32.
Yeah.
Like we all knew Atlanta has been one of the most inconsistent teams. You know, they beat Miami to get into this spot here, the first playing game, which a lot of people were surprised on. But again, this is an Atlanta team. They have the firepower. They have essentially the players to make a push, but they haven't clicked all year long. Does this Atlanta team have any chance of beating up on the Celtics team?
Not the way they're playing today. If they keep playing this way defensively, they're playing phenomenally well. The Celtics, they're closing out on the shooters. They're not allowing Atlanta to get anything easy at all. And the fear with Atlanta that I had going in this series is how consistent can they be throughout the series? And the answer is not very right now. So, again, it's in the Celtics' hands here whether they want to make it four or five. But I think it's going to be a quick series just like the Philly series. So,
which is good for these teams that are top seeds because the more rest you can get in between series, the better off you are in a way. We've all seen it before in all sports.
No question.
I want to look here, too, while we wait for JG here. So the Celtics here, currently Tatum with 18 points, Jaylen Brown, who we thought was a big question coming into play with the hand issue in the injury department, still sitting here at 13 boards and 6 rebounds, or 13 points and 6 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, are we worried about this combo making a splash like they are already?
I don't think so. And I was watching the game, and what ESPN said was that he feels pain when he shoots, catches the ball. And that, I mean, what are you doing in basketball? Catch the ball, shoot it.
Catch the ball, shoot it.
Yeah. So I think they're going to be just fine based on the way Brown has played. Tatum is going to get his. I mean, he's just a beast. That's why he's in MVP conversation, which he won't get, but he's in it. I just think Jaylen Brown is the key. If he gets 25 points a game, 26 points a game, and pulls down 8 rebounds a game, they're going to be really, really tough to beat. And the guy, the X factor for the Celtics, Robert Williams. He's played phenomenally well in the first half here. So he's going to be.
I was going to say the bench of Robert Williams coming off the bench there over Al Horford, who got the start. I mean, 8 points already, 3 boards, 2 assists, 1 block, 1 steal. This is what you kind of need, is a great big man to come into play, relieve your, Al Horford, who will give you other numbers than points, who could score, but he's going to give you other opportunities in that category that won't be recognized on the stat sheet, which is why Al Horford is starting over Robert Williams. But having that coaching decision there, you got Brogdon coming off the bench, you got Robert Williams coming off the bench, and they haven't even used Griffin yet or anybody else, so. Like, there's still a good depth there. But if they can keep it to, 3 or 4 main guys off the bench, this Celtics team is – we'll be seeing them soon with a versus a really good team on the other side, on this side of things.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Philadelphia-Boston series will be an absolute intense series that could go basically 7 games with these two teams. So people will be looking forward to that series a lot. If it happens, so.
I agree. All right, let's bring the man in here. The sports buffoon, JG. JG.
What's up, dude?
What's up?
I heard you guys were talking about the Celtics there for a while. I'm glad you started that part without me because that's got to be one of the most boring series of my lifetime.
Well, it's already showing up that way after this half here coming into play. 66-41. Unbelievable. So, JG, we're saving the best for the last kind of part of this here while we wait for you. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the main series first, right? The big series in the West, which is your Golden State Warriors and your Sacramento Kings, the 6 versus 3, the defending champs going against a very surprising Sacramento team. JG, give me the breakdown. Give me the preview. What to expect here in this series?
I'm excited about it just due to the fact that, a lot of people think that Golden State is just going to run away with this thing. And it's not going to happen because this series to me is all about De'Aaron Fox, because he is the all-star on that team. And a lot of people don't know he is actually statistically the most clutch player in the entire NBA. So I know he doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, but the guy comes through in the clutch. And it's also going to be interesting to me to see if Golden State can kind of get rid of that problem that they have with playing like shit on the road. And I think we all kind of assume that, in the playoffs, it's different and it should be. And I think that they'll be better on the road, specifically because the Kings don't really have home court advantage in this series. That arena is an hour and a half from where the Golden State Warriors play. So it's not going to be as bad as like going to an LA Chargers game, but there's going to be a lot of Warriors fans in that arena, dude. And so, you can talk shit on the Warriors, not about not being able to play well on the road this year, but number one, playoffs are different. Number two, I really don't believe that the Kings have home court advantage in this because those two cities are so close together. Having said that, though, Golden State's not going to run away with this, guys. The Kings are, they've got a coach in Mike Brown who was, I like to call him, he was the defensive coordinator when he was on the Warriors. And so he knows a lot about what the Golden State Warriors are going to try to do, being a former coach. But main reason I like Sacramento is because that pick and roll with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis is basically unstoppable. Okay, so no, you know, you might get lucky at times and be able to stop it, you know, one or two times here and there, but that play, that pick and roll with Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox is going to work basically 9 times out of 10. And so the Kings are the underdog in this series. I think that's going to light a fire under them for sure. They are favored. I think they're favored by a point in game one, but they're not favored to win the series. So Golden State is the favorite. I do believe that the Warriors are going to win this series. They're actually 3-1 in the season series versus Sacramento. And I do believe that the Warriors are going to win this thing in six. But I do think it's going to be very competitive. And those people that think that Golden State's just going to run away with this thing, they are wrong. It's going to be highly competitive. But I do have Golden State in six. In terms of talking about Andrew Wiggins, he's not going to have his usual role in this series. They're still trying to get him up to speed. And maybe they will get him back to 100% by their second series, the second round series. But he, in this particular game tonight, I mean, I don't really know what to expect. He might only get like 10 to 15 minutes in this game. I'm assuming that his conditioning is not where it needs to be. But he's not going to have his usual role. But I want to know you guys' thoughts, because I do think Golden State's going to win this thing in six. They are the better team, but I think it's going to be more competitive than people think.
Scott, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, in a series like this, I lean toward experience. And I think this road woes thing has been way, way overblown with Golden State. Every time they talk about Golden State, the first thing they go to is, yeah, they've won 9 or 10 games on the road all year long. Well, the playoffs are a different mindset. And Golden State's been through this many, many times before. So for Golden State, who is going to have pressure on them tonight because they're going to want to win game one and get off to a good start, not saying that that's going to be the series breaker for Sacramento with them, I think they're gonna steal one of these first two games. And then all they've got to do is win three in Golden State, which they most likely will. So again, I see this going six, like JG, I agree. But I would lean Golden State slightly in this series. So
look, I make my picks off of momentum. Momentum going into the playoffs. If you look at the last five of each team, you got the Kings out here losing their last 4 out of 5. Their last win came on April 4th against the New Orleans Pelicans. They lost to Denver, Golden State, and Dallas 3 in a row to lead into the playoffs here. And they got San Antonio with the loss as well right before that New Orleans win. If you look on the other side, yeah, Golden State Warriors winning their last 4 out of 5. And 3 of them were on the road against Portland, Sacramento, and 2 wins on the road, my bad. But still, 2 wins on the road to finish the season, winning 4 out of your last 5, that's momentum. That's momentum. Yeah. And that's a team starting to click, starting to get pieces back, a.k.a. Wiggins. It's going to be a different matchup here. I said the Kings on the Sports with Boone show, obviously, but I am going to switch it up here because I am going to go Golden State. I think Golden State has the momentum going to the playoffs. I think Golden State has the pieces that were needed to come back to be a successful playoff run. And these are the defending champs. And we've seen this team before be a low seed, and we've seen what happens. So I'm going to Golden State. They're going to take care of the series. And I still stand at this point that the winner of this series takes the West.
Wait a second. Are you chickening out? You just picked Sacramento in the last damn show.
On Wednesday, I told you that.
What's wrong with you?
But I've done a little bit more research on it. And I think Golden State is the winner here in the end. Still in sixth.
All right. Well, I'm glad I was able to convince you on that one, Tanner.
Take all the credit, JG. Take all the credit.
It's an interesting series. It's the same thing. I mean, no matter who the Warriors face going forward in the playoffs, even past this series, it's all about weapons. And it's all about, you know, can we stop De'Aaron Fox? Well, yeah, they have so many different bodies that they can throw on De'Aaron Fox that they don't really need Andrew Wiggins in this series. So we don't need him to be 100%. We don't even need him to be 80%. You know, if they throw him in there for 15 minutes, you know, they've got, we talked about this before, they can throw Dante DiVincenzo on, you know, on De'Aaron Fox. They can throw Draymond Green on him. I mean, pretty much anybody but Steph, you know, you can throw and try to guard De'Aaron Fox. And De'Aaron Fox is going to get his, okay? Because he's a superstar. He's going to get his points, average 25 per game for the entire season. So he's going to get his 20 to 25 points a game no matter what. But the rest of that roster just is not going to cut it in this series.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. So let's move on to the next game here. Again, an East game this time. Cleveland Cavaliers, New York Knicks, two teams that have greatly improved with acquisitions throughout the offseason, now making it to a playoff spot. What are we thinking here? Scott, we'll start with you on this Cleveland Knicks series.
So my Julius Randle supposedly back for this series.
Okay, yeah, he's returning.
How effective can this guy be? I mean, he was out with the ankle for a long, long time here, or for a little bit at least. How effective can he be? I thought the Knicks were playing really well without Randle on the court. They were spreading the ball around. They were getting good shots. They were playing really good defense. But everybody was involved with this team. And now you bring Julius Randle back, and now you got to ask yourself, is it going to be Randle and Brunson taking 80% of the shots, and the other guys are just going to have to fight for the scraps in terms of getting what they get? Cleveland could be the underlying sleeper in this whole Eastern Conference this year. I think Cleveland has an athletic team with Donovan Mitchell leading that team. I just think that Cleveland can take the Knicks out in six games in this series. I know the Knicks are athletic. I know they're young. I know everything else. But still, do you really, you know, Thibodeau's the coach. I get that, all that stuff. Okay? I get all that. But can the Knicks backups or the Knicks' underlying talent, underlying team, can they be okay with 20 to 30% of the shots and trying to, you know, get a third scorer in the series? I don't think so. I think Cleveland's got enough here to beat the Knicks in six games. And I think it's going to be a close series every game, but I think they're going to be able to do it. So, you know, Donovan Mitchell's the alpha male on that team, and he's a stud, complete stud. So,
right. JG, what you got?
Yeah, I've got some serious problems with this series. And I know you guys were talking about the Celtics versus Atlanta a little bit earlier and how ugly that series is going to be. I've got some serious problems with this series, and this series could get very ugly very, very fast. I was looking up defensive win shares a little bit earlier today, which is basically, it gives credit to players based on their ability to stop teams from scoring. Calculates the number of points allowed per 100 defensive possessions. And the Cleveland Cavaliers actually have three guys in the entire NBA that are in the top 10. Okay. Wow. So Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, Jarrett Allen, all three of those guys on the Cavaliers, they're all in the top 10 in the entire NBA in defensive win shares. And by the way, Donovan Mitchell is 15th. In the league. And by the way, Caris LeVert is number 19. That's five guys in the top 20. You want to know how many guys are in the top 20 on the Knicks?
Zero.
Because the Cavaliers are an elite defensive team. They can get stops at the drop of a hat. Now, that's a little bit different if they're going up against, you know, an extremely potent team like the Warriors or somebody like that. I don't look at the New York Knicks as a potent offensive team. And no. By the way, Julius Randle is injured. We don't know what percentage of Julius Randle you're going to get in this game. He's yes. going to play because they have no other choice. They know that they're about to get their ass kicked. So they're just like, well, fuck. Throw fucking Julius Randle out there so he can get his ass kicked. So at least we could say we played him. This series is going to be a disaster, guys. I do believe that the Knicks are going to get one game in this series just due to the fact, just out of sheer boredom. The Cavaliers are going to get so fucking bored of this series and beating the shit out of them that's how the Knicks are going to get one game. So I do see a gentleman sweep here, a five-game series.
Yeah.
Talked about Julius Randle. He does have that left ankle sprain. They're going to throw him out there. Jalen Brunson actually had a right hand sprain, but that's not going to be an issue for him because he's left-handed. So I don't see an issue with Jalen Brunson. I think he's gonna be the star player that people are expecting to see. But this series is going to be a disaster. This could be the biggest blowout in the first round. We already talked about how we think that Boston. I mean, the Hawks are not going to get a game. I'd be surprised if Brooklyn Nets get more than one or two games. This series, the Cavaliers versus the Knicks, is going to be the biggest blowout in the first round. And I will not be shocked if they get all four of the games. I won't be shocked if the Knicks lose all four of these games. And by the way, not to get too far ahead of myself here, the Milwaukee Bucks – they want no fucking part of the Cleveland Cavaliers in that second round. They want no part of this team, guys.
And
especially if Chris Middleton is not 100%. If Chris Middleton, if they throw him out there and he either gets re-injured in the first round or they throw him out there in the second round at 80%, we got a problem. And the Cleveland Cavaliers are probably going to win. They're probably going to beat the Bucks in the second round if you don't get a Chris Middleton at least 90%.
And I'll tell you honestly, I was watching a show up here in Boston last night, and the one team that the analysts said that they would not want to see in the playoffs are the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
They said they think they'll be able to – yeah. It's you could see 4-4-0 first-round series in the East.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Insane. Look, I'm kind of similar with you guys here. I think the Cavs take this in five at least. And the whole reason is the Knicks are just such a young team, but they're also beat up, like Jason stated here with Randle and Brunson. And, I mean, it's just as much success as they've had this year, which is good for New York, it's not going to be the full extent here. I think you got such a strong starting rotation with the Cavaliers. That kind of balance each other, like Jason said again, with defense, especially down low. I just see this as being a pretty quick series and being a five. I got Cavs in five. I got Mitchell, you know, scoring like crazy, but I got Jared Allen down there taking care of business down low. And if Randle is playing, he's not going to get a lot going. So,
yeah, and I feel so sorry for Knicks fans because this – when they see Donovan Mitchell – when they see Donovan Mitchell roll out there and just fucking torch their ass every fucking night, they're going to look at that fucking front office and be like, dude, you had a guy in Donovan Mitchell that wanted to play there. He wanted to play for the Knicks, and they couldn't figure out a way to get him in there. I mean, how pathetic is that, that a guy that wanted to play for them and they couldn't bring him in is now going to be the one to kick the living shit out of the Knicks? I mean, if I'm a Knicks fan, that makes me sick to my stomach.
If for the, any chance of the Knicks in the series, they have to win game one tonight. They have to. If they go down 1-0, sure. It could be 4-0. It could be 4-0.
For sure.
So,
yeah, if they don't, I totally agree with you. If they don't get game one, I mean, it's going to be a shit show. They're going to be a laughing stock.
Yep.
Awesome. Guys, any other things before we wrap up here?
No, the Celtics are up by 30 right now. I don't know how Atlanta's even going to get a game right now. They're up 74-44. They're just dominating them. It's just total domination. So,
Yeah, you know, it was kind of funny before that last play-in game, there were talks out there about whether people think the Atlanta Hawks should try to trade Trae Young to see what they could get out of him. And he promptly won that their last play-in game, and now they're going to get the living shit kicked out of him. So we might be revisiting those talks pretty sooner rather than later on whether we think the Hawks might try to move him, because they just don't have enough, man. They do not have enough. Now, give it a full off season with new coach Quinn Snyder. You know, that might move the needle a little bit, but I think they're definitely still missing a piece there in Atlanta.
Gotcha. I agree. We'll have to see what happens with the series here and what the consequences is going to be after this beatdown. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that is your Saturday show of In the Hoop with JG and Scott Gove and Tanner D, of course. So, everybody, go watch the NBA playoffs. We've got some great series out there outside of this few series that we talked about. And there's a lot more to come here. So make sure you guys check out, hit subscribe, hit the bell, because we got a lot more NBA content coming your way. Everybody have a fabulous Saturday. We'll talk to you later.
Outro.